It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar. Because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P.
R-H-A-P.
Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
Greetings, true believers, and welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and this week, I'm here to talk some Big Brother and Survivor with you on robezawebsite.com. Today, I'm very lucky to be joined by my good pal. He holds the record for most appearances on the Happy Hour. He's my unofficial co-host, and this week, I think this is the first time that I'm giving him the whole show to himself, so this should be a really fun time. Please, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the great Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing fantastically. I am the Shingo Yamamoto of this podcast, which is a Ninja Warrior reference.
And that went right over my head because I don't watch Ninja Warrior. So hopefully somebody got that, but I did not. So apologies, Taryn.
No problem.
Let's get into the topic for today's episode. And I was trying to think of some off-season topic discussions, and we had already done a big ranking show. I don't want to do too many of those because I've been hogging up all the bandwidth on robinswebsite.com for Reality TV wrap-ups, and nobody else can post anything if I keep doing those with you guys. So I wanted to somehow get like a smaller ranking show that we could do, and it could be nice and tight, maybe like an hour or so. And so I thought of ideas, and I thought, okay, what's a quick ranking? What's something that I really like? And immediately, Tony Vlacos, I think of Tony Vlacos a lot, Taryn. I'm sure you do as well.
All the time.
So I thought, okay, going to the school of Tony Vlacos, as Stephen Fishback did, what does Tony preach? Top five, baby.
Top five, baby.
So I thought, okay, we could do a top five ranking with just the two of us and talking about a topic that normally we couldn't go on for like 3 hours about. And today, that topic is bitter juries on Survivor and Big Brother. And this is a big topic of debate because a lot of people are of the mindset of that, oh my gosh, like so many juries are so bitter. And other people are of the mindset that bitter jury, there's no such thing as a bitter jury, Taryn. So before we start, I should also say, subscribe to us on robinswebsite.com/wrapups. Make sure you're subscribed to the Reality TV Wrap-Ups so you don't ever miss a show. But Taryn, before we even start this, because we can't have a top five baby rankings without us figuring out if we actually have if there is a thing as a bitter jury. Is a bitter jury a real thing, or is this a figment of people's imaginations? What is your take on this?
Of course a bitter jury is a real thing. I think, like most things that people disagree about, it really comes down to definitions. A bitter jury, by definition, is a jury, a bitter jury. They feel bitter. It's an emotional state. To say that a bitter jury doesn't exist is the same thing as saying a happy jury doesn't exist, or an enthusiastic jury doesn't exist. Of course it exists. The thing is that some people then go on to say that a bitter jury means that the winner deserved it less, or something along those lines. That's what you usually will disagree with if you're saying that there's no such thing as a bitter jury. Or you'll be saying that there's no such thing as a bitter jury because the player in the final two that is causing, or final three that is causing these players to be bitter, created them, and they have no will of their own. They're subject to the whims of the final two or three and are thus being forced to be bitter. I would also say that I don't really agree with that either. I think that there are plenty of people who have, you know, wills of their own. They can choose whether or not they decide, I want to be bitter, or I want to say, you know, I'm going to turn the other cheek here. So that's kind of what I based my rankings on, what the jury decided to react to. So if there's somebody like Russell Hance, who's just, you know, an awful person on most levels, not that, you know, if he's listening, yeah, you're a great person, Russell.
Yeah, Russell, you're the greatest of all time. I mean, if you're listening to this, Russell, greatest of all time.
Sorry, Rob is a bitter subject. So if you're Russell Hantz, then obviously I'm going to give you some leeway if you're upset at him. But if you're somebody who's really going off on somebody just because they played the game the same as you did, then I'm going to say that's kind of bitter. You're being a little hypocritical here. So that's what I base my rankings on. Sorry to take so long.
No worries. So your definition then of a bitter jury, Taryn, specifically, just so we can make this clear, is what?
A jury who expressed themselves in a bitter, angry manner, and often the vote reflected that emotional state.
Okay, so, and we talked about this a little bit offline as well, and you are also of the mindset that when you're thinking of this, it's juries that are voting against someone rather than voting for someone. So right. I think that's another thing we probably need to make clear when thinking about this is when you think of somebody winning, these are juries that, and there's a Twistos twist that's coming up soon, Taryn, that you don't know about. But these are juries that are ones in which mainly the big thing is that, yes, people are being voted against here. But the Twistos twist that I alluded to, Taryn, is that, and as you know, being a Big Brother Canada, I got to stick close to home with something like this. And the Twistos twist for this is, Taryn, as you know, and for those of you who watch the after show regularly, you'll know that I like to throw Taryn under the bus regularly. So today we're not doing my ranking and Taryn's ranking. We're just going to talk about Taryn's ranking because I think that is something that more people are going to be interested in. It's easier to just look at your ranking and do it because when I looked at both of ours, there were probably too many differences to come up with a consensus. So in order to keep the show short and to prevent us from arguing forever, we're just going to talk about yours. And also, let's be real. You're the analyst of the two of us here. I'm just the host. I just ramble on and talk about things. You actually have very intelligent things to say. So I think it's probably better if we go this route. And then that way, if there's backlash afterwards, you guys can't get mad at me. You just got to get mad at Taryn. So it's the best of both worlds.
I was so prepared to use you as my patsy. And now I'm being thrown under the bus. Now I know how Russell feels. Oh, man. I'm so sorry, Russell.
That's what you get. That's what you get. That's you diss Russell and you get thrown under the bus, Taryn. That's just... yes, that's right. So top five, baby. We're talking about Taryn Armstrong's top five most bitter juries in Survivor and Big Brother history. Before we get into it, I want to talk about some honorable mentions from me that didn't make your list, and I want to hear why they did not make your list because I'm very intrigued. Because a few of them that didn't make it did shock me. But the one thing I did want to ask you before we jump into it is, do you think that Big Brother juries or Survivor juries tend to be more bitter when it comes down to it?
Survivor juries, by far, it's not even a close margin. Survivor juries are way more bitter. I actually, to do this, went back and watched every single Final Tribal and jury questioning deliberation segment for Big Brother. And the difference is staggering. The Big Brother jurors make it a very strong point to say who played the best game. We're going to really try and vote for that person. And can we put our feelings aside? Let's try and do this rationally. There are certainly bitter jurors from Big Brother, but as a whole, much, much less bitter. Going back and watching all of the Survivor Final Tribals, I would not be sad if I never heard the words honor and integrity in my life ever again, because every single time, multiple people, you said you played with honor and integrity, but you really didn't. I'm upset about it. It happens so often. It's crazy.
Poor Dragon Slayer, really, in South Pacific, really.
It was so fun to watch Coach in season 18 as a juror, and then in season 23 as a finalist, because the situation is totally flipped on him, and it was kind of beautiful to watch in succession. I think the reason that Survivor jurors tend to be more bitter is because it's a much shorter game, and it's hard to stay bitter for as long as you're in the jury house in Big Brother. You know, you're away from those players for a really long time. By the time you get back to them, it's like, you know, I was really mad because emotions were flaring, but you know, now I feel like I care about how I come across on TV and I'm not going to trash you or anything like that. You know, I think in general, they tend to get a lot more calm by the time that the final two comes around for Big Brother.
And I think another thing too, is the Big Brother, at least now, the jury deliberation is so accelerated. It's so short. It's very quick. And being somebody who has gone through it, it's very fast. So you don't even really have time to lay into one. Although, I mean, if we want to talk about Big Brother Canada, which is not talked about in this rank, season one didn't really have trouble doing that, but another conversation for another day. But I certainly, I can get behind that. And as somebody who saw people come in to a jury, and as somebody who was in a jury house for the entire duration of it, and seeing people's feelings towards people as the game progressed, it's certainly time heals all wounds, Taryn. And that's a very good point, because if you think about it, Survivor is played over 39 days. In the Big Brother jury house, I was in there for 35 days. So I was almost in the jury house as long as an entire Survivor season, which is crazy. So yeah. I think that's something as well that you need to think about in terms of why we see this so much more frequently with Survivor. I think another thing too, Taryn, is we've just seen more Survivor seasons. So we've got a larger sample size to choose from. Big Brother, we don't have as many seasons. We just wrapped up Big Brother 17 US. And I guess if we want to include the Canadian seasons, I guess we can say that there's really 19 seasons in the modern era, if you want to call it, and there's 31 Survivor seasons. So I think that might have something to do with it as well. But enough preamble. Let's talk about these honorable mentions, because I really want to hear from you why these did not make the cut. And I'm very excited to see the comments after this, because I think a lot of people are going to be they're going to be with me, unless you do a really good job of explaining yourself, which I'm sure you will, because you're Taryn. But let's talk about, I've got three for you. Okay. So the first one, and this one really shocked me that you didn't have this one in your top five, Taryn. And this one, for me, I mean, this jury inspired the creation of the sequestered jury system. If there was not this season and there was not this incident, who knows how the jury system would have evolved on Big Brother. And we're talking about Big Brother 3. Big Brother 3 did not make your cut. Famously, Daniel Reyes, some people call her the greatest to never win. She came in at number 3 on our ranking show a few weeks ago. But she lost to Lisa Donahue, who was nice and played a good social game. But Danielle was just so good strategically. And ultimately, she did not win. She got blown out by Lisa, which, in my opinion, should not have happened. Why did this jury not make your list?
It's certainly close, and going on just bitterness, it was definitely a very bitter jury. That being said, I give it some leeway because there were these weird rules involved where they were watching the season the whole way through, so they had no distance from it whatsoever. They had to watch as Danielle trashed them in the diary room. And that's something that no other juror in any other season of Big Brother or Survivor had to go through. So I say, like, they were certainly very bitter, but again, when I say something like Russell, where you're kind of justified to be angry, I think they had a little more reason to be upset because they had to watch that stuff that you know, nobody else had to sit through. So I kind of gave it that a little bit of a handicap as far as where I'd place it. And I will say, the Big Brother 4 jury, after they watched the tapes, also one of the most bitter juries of all time. But again, I gave it a little leeway because, you know, they had to sit through and watch June and Allison, you know, trash talk them till the end of time. So, and again, Big Brother 2, also a very bitter jury. But again, they watched the show, so it's harder to judge those seasons. So that's why I didn't include it. It's definitely up there, though.
Okay, so perhaps this, we're going to put those seasons with an asterisk because they don't have the traditional sequestered jury system. And I think maybe an argument as well for people who might say, who are like big Lisa fans, or might say that they weren't bitter, is that beforehand, Danielle knew that they would be watching all of those DR sessions, no?
Yeah, she knew.
Yeah. So I feel like that, if you factor that in, I mean, perhaps Danielle just maybe should. And again, it's easy for me to say, and I would love to talk to Danielle Reyes about this someday, and I'm sure I will. But that, I think, I just wonder, had she have not done that, do you think she would have been able to pull that win out?
It's so hard to tell, because the way that the whole game was set up was so drastically different, and it changed the entire environment in the house. Somebody like Roddy was really afraid to lie because he knew he'd be caught if he did, because the jury would watch the tapes. So he couldn't be hypocritical or lie or anything. Danielle didn't care about that. So that allowed her some leeway in the game that she may not have otherwise had. And on the other hand, it may have cost her the game if they were more upset than they otherwise would have been because they watched that. So it's so hard to tell. I couldn't say one way or the other, to be honest.
All right. Well, maybe one day we'll get Danielle on the podcast and we can discuss that whole situation, hear what she thinks about that. Okay. Number two on my list of things or juries that I wanted to mention in the honorable mentions section is one that I don't know if I personally would put this one on my list, but I think it garners mentioning, and we've talked about it multiple times already on this podcast, and that is the famous jury from Survivor Samoa that voted for Natalie White to beat Russell Hantz, the greatest of all time, in the final three of that season. That inspired www.russellgotscrewed.com and various other domain names. Who knows if Russell was behind those or not? I don't know. But a lot of people, at first at least, were very, very upset that Samoa, about the Samoa jury, really. So why leave Samoa off your list, Taryn? And if you could just explain your general thoughts on that jury in general and Russell Hantz in this debate, because certain people, I think to this day, are still adamant that Russell should have won that season.
Yeah. here's the thing. I hate the Samoa jury. I hate them not because of the decision they made, but because of the impact they had on the discussion about bitter juries. I don't think they were a bitter jury. Go back and watch that tribal council. They weren't angry at Russell, really. I mean, compared to most other tribals, they were just like, yeah, we know who you are, Russell. We're not going to vote for you. You're not good at this. You're not good at getting people to like you. It's going to go to someone else. They probably played better. They weren't like, oh, Russell, you're the worst. I hate you so much. Why did you betray me? Why did you lie? Lying is wrong. That's what other jurors did. Like, there were certainly jurors that really disliked Russell, and there were
that
were angry.
Yeah, because didn't Laura Moret really hated Russell from what I can recall.
Certainly, but not in the same way. Like, again, go back and watch it compared to some other final tribals, including Heroes versus Villains, where they were more upset with Russell than they were in Samoa. They were more in Samoa.
early candidate for hashtag Samoa.
Yeah.
Your Boston's coming out of you, Tim.
Oh no. In Samoa, They were much more matter of fact about it. It was just like, you know, we actually think that Natalie might have genuinely played a better game. They weren't saying, you know, we think Russell played better, but we're just so upset with him that we're going to vote for somebody else. They were saying, you know what, Natalie actually had a decent strategy compared to Russell's, which is to make everyone hate him. And I kind of agree with that. I don't think Natalie's a good player by any metric, but she's better than Russell Hantz, because Russell Hantz isn't going to win that jury vote, and she is. So,
but the only thing, and this is something that people still bring up, and I just want to hear your take on this, is just to play devil's advocate here. If we look at Russell socially, yes, completely inept, was terrible at making relationships, screwed everybody else over. But tactically and strategically, I mean, really, at the time, a lot of people were saying Russell Hantz is like the Michael Jordan of Survivor, at least in that aspect of the game. He was so good at that aspect of the game, whereas Natalie White wasn't really a standout in any category. So shouldn't he have garnered some votes, at least for being so incredible at that part of the game, rather than just being vanilla? Oh, I'm sorry. What were you saying?
He did get some votes. He got a couple votes.
But more than, because I mean, what he got, didn't he get two? He got Shambo and who?
Fincher.
Okay, so Fincher. All right, love me some John Fincher.
Okay,
he gets two votes, but I mean, I don't know. Shouldn't he got a little bit more than that?
Here's how I look at it. Russell is great tactically, for sure. If you say he's, you know, a 9 out of 10 tactically, or even a 10 out of 10 tactically, that's I'd probably agree with that. But he's pretty much a zero socially, or any other way, like any other category that you judge how a Survivor player is, you multiply 10 by zero, you're still at zero. He's still never going to win. You know what I mean? So if Natalie is a 2 in both, then, you know, at least she's got a 4 at the end of the day, right? Like, that's how I see it. And I'm not one of those people. And here's the thing. This is why I hate the Samoa jury, because I don't see it as a bitter jury, but it is put up on a pedestal as the bitter jury, which then makes people think, well, that's not a bitter jury. So there's no such thing as a bitter jury. If Russell made people not vote for him, then everybody makes people not vote for them. And it's a hard and fast rule. And I don't believe that. I think that there are some jurors that are just going to be much more difficult to win over to certain kinds of people always. And you can't always blame the person sitting in the final two for not getting somebody's vote because they couldn't control the emotional state of somebody else sitting in a jury that they haven't talked to in weeks. Stephen Fishback mentioned recently, like, it's impossible to control the jury from the game when the jury is sitting talking amongst themselves. It's nearly impossible, at least. There's certainly people who have managed to do decently at it, but to say that it's only the person's fault that that a jury is bitter is kind of like saying, like, okay, then did the other person that they're sitting next to, did Natalie, or not Natalie, because that's not a good example.
No. Well, you don't want to spoil.
Did the person sitting next to them actively win over all of those votes? Probably not, because nobody has controlled every single juror, and very few people have 100% controlled enough jurors to win. They've just kind of guessed and taken the people that they think they can beat. It's not an exact science.
Okay. And Edward Morris in the chat is saying Mick was feckless. I loved that moment. Yes. From Shambo.
Oh man.
Yeah, I actually, fun fact, I was rewatching Survivor Samoa while I was in the middle of casting for Big Brother, and I remember using that term, and I was like, yeah, I'm so cool. I'm using feckless. They're going to think I'm so intelligent, and I'm stealing vocabulary from Shambo. Okay, the final one that's on my honorable mentions list that did not make Taryn's top five, baby, is a very similar season to Survivor Samoa, and that is Survivor Heroes versus Villains. Personally, I feel like Parvati was really tainted by Russell and the hatred towards Russell. So rather than voting for Sandra, people were just voting against Parvati and Russell. And in my opinion, I think that Parvati should have won, and we should be talking about Parvati Shallow as the only two-time winner of Survivor Heroes versus Villains. So, Taryn, what do you say to that?
This is going to be such a popular podcast for me. I'm arguing against both adamant sides right now. So I disagree. I don't think that Parvati was soiled by Russell. I think that Parvati spoiled the jury herself. And I like Parvati. I think she seems like a very pleasant person. But by all accounts, she was reading the note that JT read, that wrote to Russell, and laughing at him, and, you know, all around not being really pleasant with the people on the other side of her alliance. And, you know, that matters. And another thing is, as much as I don't think Sandra is a great player, she is good at getting jury votes. I don't think that it's wrong to give Sandra the jury vote when that's what she's good at. You know, they shouldn't have taken her there. Do I think Sandra's the better player? No, I don't. I think Parvati's the better player. I don't think Parvati's the best player, but see, this is what I mean. Both sides are going to hate me for this.
But yeah, Tyler Kakuno in the chat is saying, you're walking on thin ice, Taryn.
But yeah, I mean, Parvati lost those votes. Sandra won those votes. And that's how the jury vote goes. I think Parvati played a much better game to get to the end than Sandra did. But Sandra played a better game to get those jury votes. I think I think Parvati's a better player overall. But Sandra won the vote. And that's how it went.
But like specifically, I mean, what did, you know, what exactly is Sandra doing to get those votes other than the fact that she is the other, you know, okay, here we go. Here's Russell and Parvati, people who like steamrolled everyone. And then, okay, here's this like outside candidate, this like third party, which is Sandra. And that's basically, to me, that's how I viewed her getting all the votes was that. So, I mean, yeah, she's an underdog. Yeah, she wasn't supposed to get that far. But I mean, what? I just think that the jury, those heroes, Taryn, those Rupert and all of them were just so anti Russell and Sandra and Parvati that they just screwed that. They were just looking at Parvati through, you know, the Russell Hant, as if she's Russell Hant. And I guess partially that's her fault for working with Russell, but I don't know if we can really say, I mean, Parvati's not going up to coach and be like, yeah, coach, I'm going to knight you. You're going to be a knight. And saying, calling, oh, yeah, Rupert, you're such a dumbass, Rupert. Like, Parvati wasn't doing that kind of stuff. So to me, at least, I that's how I felt in the situation. And I get where you're coming from, but that's just my take on it.
I do agree with you. I have Heroes versus Villains pretty high on my list. It didn't quite make the top five, but it's definitely up there. Because they voted against Parvati more than they voted for Sandra. I do believe that, but Parvati lost those votes. You know, she wasn't nice enough to the other side. She didn't make those bonds. The reason Sandra got those votes is because Sandra was playing a terrible tactical game and trying to flip against her own good position and work with those people. And it failed and it just kind of worked out for her. Again, I don't think Sandra's a great player for doing that, but she's a better person for winning a jury in that situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Parvati really messed up by putting those people off, by hanging out with Russell as much as she did and laughing at them for making the mistakes that they made. She should have been making stronger bonds, and she didn't, you know?
Parvati, should have been, it always hurts me rewatching Heroes versus Villains. Cause I feel like, Parvati should have had that second win. Okay, here we go. Top five, baby. Here, Taryn's top five. And yes, for the record, I had Heroes versus Villains very high. And I also had Big Brother 3 very high, but we're not talking about mine. We're talking about Taryn's today. So number five of the top five, baby, is one. And I'll be honest, Taryn, I was very shocked to see this one on your list. And perhaps this is because you really did your homework and you went back and watched a bunch of stuff. And I appreciate that. As DJ Khaled would say, that means a lot. So this is really interesting here. I personally have never thought of this jury as one that is bitter. But you believe it is. And that is from Survivor in the middle of the road. Was that season 14? Survivor Fiji is number five on your list, Taryn. And I think a lot of people are going to be a little bit confused. And I am too. So why have Fiji on this list rather than those other ones that I mentioned earlier?
Yeah. If you don't remember Fiji as having a bitter jury, go back and watch the final tribal council. The three amigos or whatever they were called at the time, the horsemen, they were so bitter toward Dreams. It was ridiculous. Lisi was ridiculous. I don't hate Earl. I think Earl is one of the best players we've ever seen in Survivor. I don't think having a bitter jury, takes anything away from his win. I think he encouraged the bitter jury. I think he went there with people that he knew people would be bitter against. And I think Earl is a fantastic player. I don't think a bitter jury needs to have voted wrong in order to be bitter. They just need to have been bitter. It helps to have voted wrong, but this jury was bitter. Alex telling Cassandra to shut up, I think. Lisi telling Cassandra to shut up. Like, these were jurors. They did not want to hear anything that those that Dreams and Cassandra had to say. They, and this is a common theme throughout the Survivor jury questioning. People love to say, I'm in charge now. I'm important. This is all about me. So you're going to ask, you're going to answer my question in a very specific way. And if you say anything wrong, then you're going to be in so much trouble. I'm not going to vote for you anymore. And it's so childish. And a great counterexample, Jonas from One World starts off his jury speech with, I want you to address me as Master Jonas. No, I'm just kidding. Come on, I wouldn't do like that. That's how people are. They legitimately, if they want to be like that, they want to address me as master, conform to my every whim in order to get my vote. That's what I consider to be bitter. Like, you're running on, you know, some kind of trip. Come on. That's what most of the jury was against Dreams and Cassandra. Yao Man is like the beaming light of wonderfulness, like he always is in that jury, when he's the one that's been most wronged by Dreams, and he says, come on guys, I'm just, maybe it's just because I'm an older man and I'm not poisoned by this, all this testosterone, but you know, I made the mistake in making that deal with Dreams. It's my fault. Let's not be bitter about it. And but the rest of that jury, very bitter jury. I encourage people to go and watch it. They were very hard on Cassandra and Dreams. They did not want to let them have a word. And Lisi said that Cassandra only played with greed. That's what got her to the end, is greed. And Cassandra's like, I didn't play with greed. I mean, then what was your motivation? What was it? It's like, to blah, 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 blah. No, that wasn't your motivation. I mean, obviously the million was part of my motivation. Ha, 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 I knew it. No, you can't talk anymore. You just proved my point. Ha, ha, ha. That's basically the gist.
That was a great Lisi and Cassandra impression there, Taryn. Yeah. 2 points. One, the world would be a much better place if everyone was like Yao Man. Seriously, Yao Man, I think, is the greatest human ever. He's just so awesome and nice, and I just
so great.
He's amazing. I just love Yao Man. I wish Fans versus Favorites would have gone better for him. The second thing I want to talk about is, yeah, this. OK, and that's good that you brought all this stuff up, because, yeah, I personally have not rewatched Fiji in about 4 years, and I don't really have any desire to go back and watch it because I just am not a big Fiji fan. But thank you for clarifying the Earl thing, because when you put this on your list, I thought you were a big Dreams fan or something and thought that Earl shouldn't have won. I was like, no,
Dreams
Earl
robbed.
I was like, yeah, Dream. No, I mean, I love to make fun of Dreams for how bad he was and how stupid he was. But Earl clearly should have won that season. So I'm glad we're on the same page with that. The Cassandra hate. I mean, where did that come from? Because I can't really recall her doing anything. And perhaps that is why everyone was so bitter towards her, because she did nothing and got all the way to the end.
You know, I wasn't as plugged into Survivor at the time. So I don't have the knowledge that I might have for other seasons of like why exactly they didn't like Cassandra so much. Maybe I need to listen to the Survivor historians on it. I'm not sure if it's out yet. I'm not totally caught up yet, but yeah, it always struck me as strange, because she was somebody who was always like, she was very her ear to the ground as far as how people felt. There was one of those chopping order a competition where they had to write down who they thought was the most treacherous or likable or whatever, you know, that competition. She got every single answer right. She had her finger on the pulse of that tribe. She knew what she was doing, but totally just everyone hated her. And maybe it was because she was attached to Dreams. Maybe somebody saying in the chat that maybe there were some racist things happening. I'm not sure. But I would love to find out.
Yeah, me too. Maybe we gotta do a retrospective with Cassandra. Maybe you find although I don't think she's probably anywhere on social media, but yeah, it's just very weird. Yeah, Brian Gold is saying in the chat, there have been a lot of rumors floating around about things Cassandra did/said that never made the air. So who knows? That would explain a lot, though, because to me it just was very out of that sounds just very out of place, because I don't really remember her being like that. Okay. Number four on your list, Taryn. This one, I personally thought was going to be your number one. And I think a lot of people probably who know you would also think this was going to be your number one.
But they were wrong.
They were wrong. And, you know, we've got probably, you know, arguably the biggest Dan Gieseling super fan on the line here. So I just assumed, okay, well, Dan Gieseling famously was involved with a quote unquote bitter jury in Big Brother 14. And I thought, okay, well, we're having Taryn on. Obviously, this is going to be number one, but it's not. It's number four. So Big Brother 14 is coming in at number four on your list, Taryn. Why not place it higher?
You know, part of it might be the format. One thing I do want to say when going back and watching the jury stuff from Big Brother, I want to reiterate, state whatever. The new jury format where they question the final two live is so, so inferior to the way they used to do it. Watching it was like night and day. I can't understand why they continue to do it. It's so terrible. They need to stop. Maybe that format was part of the reason why, in general, the bitterness didn't come across quite as much in general. There was definitely some talk about who played the better game, especially from Brittany. Brittany recognized that Dan played better. She wasn't particularly bitter. She just happened to like Ian more. Same thing probably with Ashley at the time. The reason it is on my list is because of Frank and Shane and Joe and, to an extent, Jen. Jen and Joe in particular, had this thing where they didn't want to vote for a returning winner. They didn't want somebody to win again. And that's kind of like a subtly bitter thing to do, right? It's not overtly bitter. They didn't say, Dan, you're the worst person ever, like Frank did. But, you know, Joe did say, if Dan was sitting next to Judas, maybe he'd get my vote. The thing that makes them so bitter is that it's one of the few cases in any jury we've ever seen where I think almost every single person on that jury recognized, you know, Dan's a better player and he played a better game, but we're still not going to vote for him. That very, very rarely happens. Frank is probably the only person who thinks, yeah, but I have this weird convoluted argument for why Ian's better. And, you know, that's because Frank's, you know, he's Frank. And Shane coming out of the game, like, Dan took my money. He took that win from me. That was mine. Like, come on. He's so entitled. These people are so entitled. It's ridiculous. But no, it's not the worst. There are many, many things that are, I think, leagues worse than this. As far as, like, justice in the game for the best player winning goes, I think this is probably the worst we've ever seen. But as far as just raw bitterness goes, I think not quite there. I think there are some things that are a lot worse.
And also, I mean, don't you have to kind of, and especially because these are first-time players, dealing with somebody who's on a second go-round, who is very advanced in every aspect of the game, I feel like we're all emotional human beings, and I think this is something we need to talk about as well with these bitter juries, is when you get these personalities all together and they don't win, when they just all think that they're going to kill it and win all this money and it's gonna be great, you're gonna be upset and you're gonna be emotional about it. Wouldn't you feel pretty slighted if you were Frank and you got screwed over like that by Dan? It's kind of understandable for
anybody other than Frank, and I would have said yes. Okay, you brought something up that reminded me of something I forgot to mention, which is this jury, they weren't particularly bitter, other than Frank, against, and maybe to an extent, Shane, against Dan. They were bitter against the game, the way that it had been set up. The whole thing with the coaches and then them coming in, that was what they were bitter against. And Dan took the brunt of that. And I think that's why it didn't get as personal as some other really bitter juries did, because they were more upset with just production in general, the way that the game came about. They were just like, this is not fair. We're not going to reward the people that benefited from this. You know, Dan ultimately doesn't really benefit from it much, but they think that he does. And so he takes a lot of that bitterness front, like, just in the face, and there's not much he can do about it. In this particular instance, they're really angry at the game. That's what they're most angry with.
No, I can see that. Yeah, no, this just,
I would be too. I would be so upset if I was just about to vote a huge competitor out of the game and then he stayed and then also four other people joined me. I would be like, are you kidding me? This is ridiculous. So what? Come on.
Oh, Dan, getting struck by that bitterness in the face. You don't want that, as Random Nando is saying in the chat. We had a question from Eric in the chat. He said, do you think Dan would have won over Danielle? I think we can both agree that no, he probably would have lost. So hypothetically, if we say Danielle beats Dan instead of Ian beating Dan, does that, because of I don't know how I want to phrase this. It would be even more egregious, if you will, if Dan, at least in my opinion, I'm sure in your opinion as well, if Danielle were to beat Dan, would that move this up your rank a little bit?
Maybe a little bit. And then they also probably would have gotten a lot more personal with it because,
right.
I mean, to be fair, a lot of them disliked Ian, a lot. But Danielle took a lot of Dan's heat, so they probably disliked her more than Ian. So she probably would have had a lot. They would have been angrier in general that they had to vote between Danielle and Dan, and there would have been more personal attacks and stuff. So it would have been more bitter in that sense, and more bitter in the sense that Ian is a better player than Danielle. So it's an even wider gap than it was. So yeah, I think in general it would go up. Does it go up above the thing I have next? Probably not.
Okay. And last final thought on Big Brother 14. What should the result have been, Taryn, the biggest Dan Gieseling superfan I know?
I mean, obviously, Dan wins unanimously again. No, I mean, you know, when I say should have, what should have happened is a better format where Dan doesn't get screwed like that. Then I think he wins justifiably. According to the circumstances, he lost justifiably because those were the circumstances. Unfortunately, I blame the circumstances more than I blame the jury, more than I blame Dan, more than I blame anything else. I blame the fact that he had to come in as a coach and then join the game and then all that stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Fair point. I can see that. All right. Number three on the list, we'll get to it. And I think, yeah, the rest of the way, spoiler alert, we're going Survivor the rest of the way. So if you're tuning into this for Big Brother juries, there you go. We just talked about the most bitter jury in the history of Big Brother.
Don't give them an out to leave.
No,
we could still have Big Brother. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you know, that BB5 jury. Oh my gosh, they were so bitter. We definitely have to include them on this list. Okay. Number three, Taryn, and this one as well, I will admit, shocked me because I haven't seen this season in quite some time, and I was a little bit taken aback because, to me, this is the worst final three I have ever seen in Survivor ever. It was terrible. But again, you're looking at just the jury. You're not necessarily looking at who won or who should have won. So I'll give you a chance to explain yourself, but coming in at number three is season 17 of Survivor. That's Survivor Gabon. So I don't know. Do you just have a really big Gaboner for this season, Taryn?
I don't like this season. I don't. But the jury, oh man, they were angry. And the reason that I don't have it above, you know, another season in this list, it's at number three, is because to an extent, they were a little bit justified, right? Who wouldn't be angry at Sugar? Still, the level of anger went above and beyond what most jurors have ever done. I love Randy. I think he's fantastic. He was very bitter. I think he would admit that. And it was funny. I loved watching him bitter. I don't like watching almost anyone be bitter. I really don't like seeing it, but seeing Randy be bitter is somehow entertaining and likable.
Hold on. What about Corinne being bitter was fun too, right? I mean, we got to admit that. Was Corinne too Corinne, much? Corinne might have been a little
really
bit too crazy.
Well, until the dead dad comment, that's just like, yeah, it's a little too much. Like,
I forgot about that. That was a little bit harsh.
Yeah. I mean, just, I mean, she's funny. I think that she, again, she's the kind of person that can pull it off for the most part, but just a little too much to, I mean, I don't think anybody, no matter what they did in the game or how crazy they are, deserves to have their dead father thrown in their face. It's just a little too much for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I totally forgot about the dead father thing. Yeah. I'm just going off her reputation. Sorry. And yeah, as something the chat is saying, tubby lunchbox. I'm thinking of comments like that. But yes.
Yes.
If she would have just called Sugar a tubby lunchbox, I think it might have been okay. But well, actually, that might have been a little bit bad too. But okay. So we're saying Randy's funny, but the rest of these people, it just was extreme. Other than other than Corinne, who else was super bitter on this jury?
Even Marcus, who's like, you'd think Marcus, he was the one that came off like reasonably well, right? No, he was very bitter.
Smart
guy.
He's
very bitter against, I always forget her name. She's so forgettable. Susie?
Susie, yes.
She's like the one person, I mean, I'm terrible with names in general, but like, I just always forget who she is.
and Taryn, she got 3 votes.
Yeah, and she probably should have won that season. I mean,
what? Susie should have won?
I mean, if anybody should win any season, I think that she was probably the most tactical player that season.
Which is so pathetic, and that's again
ridiculous.
That's why I just hate this final three so much. It's just so, oh my gosh, it's just so terrible. And Bob's a nice dude, but I mean,
Bob's from Maine. I was from Maine.
Okay.
I mean, I'm still from Maine, but I was still living in Maine when I was watching it. And so I was rooting for Bob. I was like, oh, Bob's awesome. But I mean, he's never going to win another season of Survivor. It's going to take some very extenuating circumstances to get Bob in that position ever again. But yes, and then also Ken and
wait, we call him it's come on, Kenny. We're not calling him Ken.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia page right now to get my name, and it's Ken.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Kenny was pretty bitter. Crystal was pretty bitter. Most of that jury, very few of them had bad things. Even Maddie.
Can we just talk about how many unlikable people were on that season? Like, my goodness. We had like, oh, Crystal. Oh, geez. Yeah, that jury. I mean, I love Randy and I love Corinne. Marcus is a good enough dude, but oh, yeah. And Alex Kidwell saying in all caps in the chat, forget you, Jordan.
I'm pretty sure Crystal is like an idol in some dark places of the Survivor fandom. So I think you just made a lot of enemies.
Well, sorry to all those people, but those people already did not like me to begin with anyway. So I don't mind. okay. Any other final thoughts that we want to talk about with Gabon? Anything specific that really stood out, or it just in general, these guys were mad?
They were mad. They did the thing where they didn't really have any interest in what the people had to say, as far as explanations or any kind of thing. Almost all of them were. They were. I can't remember. I don't think there was a single person that was like, hey guys, no hard feelings. You guys deserve to be there. I don't think there was a single person who did that on this jury, and that's pretty rare. So, pretty bitter jury.
Yeah, but in fairness, it's terrible, terrible final three. So
yeah.
It's understandable. Okay, number two on your list. This is a jury where, to me, one person really stood out as very bitter. Another person randomly was bitter at a different person that was it was just a very, very strange situation. It was kind of like this summer on Big Brother 17 when Steve Moses hated Becky for some like random reason. It was just like, wait, what? Like that doesn't really make any sense. And this is Survivor Kara Moen. So again, I think you're probably of the mindset with me in that John Cochran was he deserved to win this season, right?
Yeah.
I think I
agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Cochran clearly should have won this season. And some people are maybe think Don should have, I don't know, but there was a ton of hatred towards Don Meehan because of, well, multiple things. And Taryn, why don't you explain that specifically? And beyond Brenda, who else was bitter? Because to me, there's nobody that really comes to mind.
Well, this is a situation where I was having trouble deciding, you know, do I go with the majority of people are mostly bitter, or, you know, this one thing in particular, it is probably the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in reality television. I hated having to watch it again. Bad taste in my mouth.
Taryn does not want to take his teeth out. For those of you, if you ever want to ask Taryn, he will not do that on the Happy Hour. It's hashtag breaking news.
But Reynolds was pretty bitter. Even Malcolm was a little salty. Let's see. Eric was not very happy.
Well, that was the person, and that's something. And Eric, ice cream scooper Eric. I mean, he sort of gets medevaced from the game, kind of. We weren't really sure. So nobody votes him out. So he doesn't really have a reason to be upset. Yet he just goes on the offensive on Sherry for like
a lot of people did. Yeah.
Why did everyone hate Sherry so much? Was it just because she floated to the end and they felt like she took their spot?
It's another thing where, you know, maybe I'd give them a little more leeway if I heard some behind the scenes things where she was this terrible person making their lives miserable. But as far as I'm aware, that's not the case. She just, you know, came into the merge in a very disadvantaged position and managed to survive to get to the end. You know, nothing special, but also, you know, nothing terrible. I think she's probably a pretty decent player if you put her in a situation where the odds aren't totally stacked against her. She didn't deserve the kind of vitriol they were spewing at her. Most people were just like, I'm not even going to bother addressing you, Sherry. I'm just going to address Dawn and Cochran. It's like, why are you being like that? Like,
yeah, like, right. Like, come on, just give her a chance. Like, I don't really get that either. Maybe, and that's part of just like the final three or the evolution of Survivor in putting this final three situation or setup for your, you know, when you're voting for the winner, because there's always one person who is kind of, you know, put to the wayside, if you will, that really doesn't have much of a chance. And people, like you said, love having this power and saying, all right, it's all up to me now. And you have to answer what I want. And I feel like people feel really good about themselves for whatever reason, for being complete assholes and saying to people, no, you're not allowed to talk. I'm only talking to these two people. But I actually think Sherry did a good job because she did stand up to ice cream scooper Eric. But it was just very strange because Eric seems like a very nice guy. And it just was very out of the blue. But yes, the Brenda and the teeth incident, I think that was definitely clear. But
yeah,
and Philip as well. Philip wasn't too happy.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard for me to pay attention when Philip talks, but I'm pretty sure he was generally upset.
How dare you, Taryn? How dare you say that about the specialist? You don't like Philip? I love Philip. He's great.
I mean, yeah, I like as a character on my television.
Yeah,
I feel particularly so, careful so, watching him. I'm sure he's a perfectly pleasant person.
Yeah, and clearly you can see he's clearly beloved by all. When Tyler Kakuno is saying in the chat, "I'm a fan," that's definitely a sign that everybody loves Philip Shepherd.
Oh, of course. But yeah, some people will. I've seen people defend the Brenda.
Asking for the vote, essentially.
Yeah, there's a better word for it, but I can't think of it at the moment. But yeah, basically forcing Dawn to take her teeth out, and then not giving her vote afterward. I don't think there's any justification for this. I think that if anybody other than Dawn, other than Brenda, who was extremely likable, and Dawn, who was extremely not likable at the time, if the situation had been reversed, it was a very likable. And now I'm losing another name. Dan Foley. Say Dan had done this.
How again, Taryn? Dan Foley. Come on, man. It's your boy. I thought he was your favorite. He's from Maine.
Imagine I'm defending Dan a little bit here. I'm saying, imagine he had done this. The outrage would have been unbelievable. And the outrage toward Dan did nothing nearly as bad as what Brenda did to Dawn. And he got an extreme backlash, nowhere near what Brenda had. You know, yes. Say what you will about Dan. He's a guy who sticks his foot in his mouth. He's not particularly intelligent about the way that he expresses himself, but he's not going to actively try to humiliate someone just purely out of vindictiveness.
Right.
Like, that's not something that he's probably ever going to do.
And I will say this. I think the comments...
I didn't want to end up defending Dan Foley on this podcast.
No, yeah.
But...
things aren't going good for you, Taryn, today.
yeah, I know, right?
The comments are not... hopefully the comments are kind to you. But I just want to preface what you said by this, in that I think Dan's comments were worse, because he talked about domestic violence towards women, and he's applying these kinds of comments and stuff like that. But with Dan, I just don't think he knows any better. He's ignorant and he's a complete moron. And I think that is why he's making these comments, and he just doesn't get it. And that's the problem. His comments were worse, but the intent was not as bad as Brenda, because Brenda knows what she's doing and Brenda knows what she's saying. And she's saying that for one purpose, and that is only to make Dawn feel terrible. And that's why she's doing that.
To use somebody's insecurities against them in a way that doesn't have any purpose other than to hurt them is just there's no game in that, right? Like, it's not like she was legitimately thinking, this really upset me, but prove to me that this wasn't a big deal, that you wouldn't have quit the game, and then I'll vote for you. It was, do this and maybe I'll vote for you, but not really.
That is just like low blow. I mean, really, Brenda, you're gonna do that? Brenda, come on. I mean, you're better than Brenda's nice. You don't have to do that. I mean, we love you. Don't do that kind of stuff. Okay. Any final thoughts on Caramel before we go to number one?
I think we're good.
Okay. Number one on the list. And, you know, I personally, because I didn't do as much research as you did, Taryn, because, you're the man and I'm not, I didn't have Gabon or Fiji on my list, because to me, I haven't rewatched those seasons in a long time, and they didn't come to the forefront of my thoughts when talking about this subject. But that, it certainly makes sense that you had them on this list. But number one definitely came to mind for me, and it was arguably number one on my list as well. And it's a very famous jury, one that everybody knows of, I'm sure, if you are a fan of Survivor. And that is the famous jury from Survivor Season 8, All-Stars, in which Amber Burkich beats Rob Mariano 4-3 in the final vote. And this is a really interesting jury, because, Taryn, this is the first time in reality TV history we see people play one of these games where there are pre-existing relationships with one another. So I think we probably have to preface I'll let you talk about it, but that probably had a big factor in why this one ultimately ended up being number one and why these jurors ended up being so bitter, right?
I think that's a huge part. I think that's a huge part of it. I think another huge part of it is something that I think I've heard Jeff Probst talk about, which is that he didn't like doing All-Stars because these players, they had huge egos. They were on seasons that were watched by millions and millions and millions and millions of people. And they thought that they were entitled, that, you know, Lex was entitled. Rob was entitled. They were all to some extent entitled. They thought they were big stars.
Not Sesternino. Not Sesternino.
No, not Sesternino. I wouldn't say Rob was entitled. I hate watching those episodes. But yes, I think they were entitled. And to those who are looking for South Pacific, that just missed the cut for me. I think it's number six.
Yeah, that was one I wanted to talk about as well in the honorable mentions, but I didn't want to drag those out too long. But yes, I'm a big I'm really behind the fact that that jury was just so anti-coaching. Coach should have won that season. Love Sophie, but
I'm behind the Sophie win, but they were very angry.
Yes, they were. But we're talking about number one, not honorable mention. Yes. So specifically beyond Lex, I mean, who really stood out to you in terms of being the most bitter on this jury?
Name a person on the jury other than Sheehan, basically.
I think Sheehan was even a little bit bitter too, because Sheehan, well, maybe not bitter, but she was like power hungry.
She was just like really misguided, Sheehan. Yeah, she really thought that Amber was some kind of mastermind. Amber said in her thing, like, what differentiated, or like, what would you say was the main component of your game? And Amber said, luck. And Jan was like, yeah, she knew what she was doing.
She knew what was up. But you know what's great about Amber is that she actually had the wherewithal to recognize that luck was a huge part of her getting there. Because, I mean, she totally lucked out a lot of points. Really, luck is a huge part of any of these games. Obviously the big Tom, don't be stupid. And he like takes the handshake back for Boston Rob. There was that famous moment.
That was like, that's so childish. Like
it really was
bitter, right? Jurors, like going up and going, not going to shake your hand.
In fairness though, Rob was kind of Boston. Rob Mariano was kind of, He was pretty rough to the. I mean, he was kind of a dick.
He really wasn't. You know?
Was he?
He lied.
He was making fun. He was talking about Big Tom couldn't even speak English in his confessionals and saying all this stuff. And he just was so cutthroat. And to this point, I mean, this, I guess in like the modern era of Survivor and Big Brother, what he did was not out of the question. I think nowadays that's very normal. We see that on these seasons all the time. But at the time, when we're dealing with these people that are all so-called friends, I think it was a little bit different. I think he was a little bit harsh. And if he was perhaps a little more empathetic towards these people when he was voting them out, perhaps the result would have been different.
Yeah. And I'm not saying Rob was a saint by any means. He's especially at the age he was a very abrasive character. And certainly lied to people and wasn't as good at being like political as he should have been. You know, he was great at getting himself there, and he was great at he's so good at getting people to trust him and making relationships. But he's not good at handling the fallout for when he stabs people in the back. It's even true of Redemption Island. Redemption Island had a very bitter jury as well. They didn't want to vote for Rob, but they had to because he got there with the two people that they wouldn't vote for, above him. But yeah, in general, you know, he badmouths people in his confessionals, but he's not somebody that really badmouths people to their face. He's not a Russell Hance. He's not like a June or an Allison. He's snarky to the camera, but he's never really mean to people to their face. And I think what it is that there's just something about getting outsmarted by this guy that just really puts you off. And like, you really trusted him. You really thought like, I know what I'm doing here. I can trust this guy. And then he turns it around on you. And he's just like barely any empathy about it. Like, sorry, you know, this is just what I have to do. And you're just like, God, I just hate you. which isn't to say that I think Lex and Tom, their behavior is excusable. I don't. I think Lex acted like a little baby. I'm going to say it. I think he acted like a little baby.
Shots fired by Taryn Armstrong, but at the same time, I don't think anyone's going to completely disagree with you. Oh, wow. Edward Morris in the chat is he wants you to go harder at Lex.
Oh, yeah. again, I'm not of the mindset that like Rob is solely responsible for Lex's reaction, because
right,
we saw Lex's reaction and we saw Kathy's reaction, and Kathy's reaction was super upset, like really upset. I saw you as a son. I'm really hurt by you, but I'm willing to forgive you. I'm willing to turn the other cheek. Lex kept this grudge for like 10 years. And right after he did something at the very least very similar to Ethan, where he said, dude, it's business. It's a game. I have to vote you out.
And Ethan, I would argue Ethan was better friends with Lex than Lex was friends with Boston Rob. I mean, these are guys who were like bros. They played together in Survivor Africa. I mean, these are tight friends. And he just kicks him to the curb. And then when it happens to him, he's like, oh, wow, we would call each other on Christmas. We were those kinds of friends, and I can't believe you. I mean, just come on, man.
Well, like Lex's logic just doesn't work. He says that the reason that it's okay for him to betray Ethan is because they didn't have a deal in the game. But that's in the game. That's outside of friendships and relationships. That means you're qualifying, you know, personal feelings based on things inside of the, based on things you can't say that you're qualifying personal feelings based on things inside of the game. And then when Rob betrays him after he makes a deal with him inside of the game, he says, "You made a deal with me inside of the game, and it affects our friendship outside of the game." So it's just like, it doesn't work, right? Like, you can't, it's so hypocritical. It's one of the most hypocritical things we've seen. And he certainly is one of those people who totally went on this kind of like power trip of like you betrayed me and now I get to make sure you lose. And I'm also going to hate your guts for like ever. And, then after a while, eventually say like, "Oh, we're totally fine." It's hard to watch. It's hard to watch that final tribal council, because I think no matter what side you're on, you're like, God, like, what is with this jury? Like, what is with this right now? Is Rob really this such a special case that he has somehow managed to elicit all of this stuff that's so out of the norm from what we've seen before? Like, we see a lot of bitter juries. We see a lot of hurt feelings, but nothing to that extent. And I don't think it's Rob. I don't think he's the thing there. I think it's the people. They felt betrayed and they had an ego because they were all stars. And Lex really thought that he was going to win that game. You know, as much as you want to say like, "Oh, Lex was justified," a large portion of how he felt was that I was going to win that game. If Rob didn't betray me, I was going to win. Rob was going to lose. And I'm super mad that Rob turned the tables on me. He was mad that Rob didn't sacrifice his life in the game because he did him a favor. And it's just like, come on.
But in fairness to Lex, he probably would have won had Boston Rob steward his own game for him. But it wouldn't have made any sense for Boston Rob to do that. And Lex just wanted Rob to not think with any logic and you want Rob to not be self-interested.
It's like saying like this, like Lex is holding a gun and either Lex or Rob has to die. One of them has to die. And Rob says, "Hey Lex, can I have the gun please?" And Lex says, "You know what? Because you're a great friend, I'm going to give you the gun, Rob, as long as you promise to give it back to me so I can shoot you with it." And then Rob takes the gun and he says, "Listen, I'm sorry, but I really want to live." So he shoots Lex. And Lex is like, "What? Come on. That's ridiculous."
Wait. Wouldn't Lex be dead? So he can't say that. Or Lex's ghost is saying this.
Yeah, if ghosts existed, this is me pissing off even more people. If ghosts existed, that was what Lex's ghost would be saying.
All right. Taryn, any final thoughts on the Survivor All-Stars jury before we we wrap things up for today?
I think that's it. I think I briefly mentioned Alicia. She was also very upset.
Yes, Alicia was.
Yeah. I think that's good.
All right. Well, Taryn, thank you for joining me today. I really appreciate you coming on. And again, like bitter juries, it's a tough thing. I mean, I get the argument that there is no such thing as a bitter jury. And I understand because these people are emotional. And as somebody who has been on a jury before, I get it. You know, certain jury, you know, certain people, they're not a fan of that mindset. But for this, you know, if we do that, and if we have that mindset, then we don't have a podcast. So we needed something to talk about. So to those people, I apologize. I think we had a good chat. I think that if we really look at it at the core, it's okay to be bitter. It's understandable. There's nothing wrong with that, because these games are about relationships and it's about being, you know, emotional, all this kind of stuff. So I just think keep that in mind when you're thinking about this kind of stuff. And remember, also keep in mind, these are Taryn's rankings and not mine. So feel free to roast him in the comments and not me.
We'll take bets on how many people get upset at me and my list without having listened to the podcast. I think that's important to know.
No, I think this is great, Taryn. Thank you for joining me. I appreciate it, man.
If anybody's going to get mad at me after listening to the podcast, it's going to be this one.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll see. I don't think so. I think people, and this is why I just let you run the show this time, because I felt like, you know, if we started getting in mine, it would get all jumbled up and it wouldn't be good. And I think you do a great job and you've got some great analysis, and I'm happy with I really like what you came up with today. So great job as always, Taryn. And I think everyone listening will enjoy this as well.
Just very quickly, I will say, Lex had every right to vote against Rob, and every yes. juror has every right to vote against any
exactly.
other person. When I talk about bitter jurors, it's how they act and whether or not I agree with the way that they're acting. So that's, I just want to point that out. I'm not somebody that thinks that the jury has to vote the way I think. I'm not that, you know, delusional. If you're mad at me, talk to me. We can talk it out. I'm sure we can come to an agreement. It's just like, I obviously can't explain myself perfectly well in this kind of format without getting to talk to people that disagree with me and address their points directly. So I'm perfectly willing to discuss it with anybody. I love discussing this stuff.
Yeah, and I do as well. So except thank you guys Frank. For listening. Except Frank, yeah, in the comments. Jordan, we can get in the comments later. Guys, thank you for joining us today. We need a hashtag for this episode. Taryn, I guess I was thinking Samoer. I mean, that is really what was it? Bitter in the face. What was that?
Bitter in the face is pretty good.
Bitter in the face was pretty good. Gaboner. Hashtag still a great night. Bitter in the face. I think bitter in the face is a good one. So let's go with bitter in the face. Dan Gieseling getting hit with that bitter in his face. Okay, so guys, definitely don't forget, please follow Taryn on Twitter. He's at Armstrong Taryn, and follow me. I'm at Jordan Parhar. Tweet us after the show. Let us know what you thought. Was Taryn wrong? Was Taryn right? Should I have included my rankings? What did you think about honorable mentions? All that kind of stuff. Let us know and use the hashtag bitter in the face. Don't forget to leave comments as well on robiswebsite.com and subscribe to us on YouTube. Reality TV Rehapups on YouTube. You can see the video of this podcast. And if you want the Happy Hour only feed, if you like listening to this podcast, never want to miss an episode, go to robiswebsite.com/Happy Hour. Next week, I will be back again. I don't know who it'll be with, but I'm planning on doing some sort of live show, hopefully, unless I have one thing in the works that I've been trying to work on, which would be via Skype. So just keep it locked to Twitter and you'll be able to see if we're doing a live show or not. And don't forget to tune in to the Bachelor Rehap-Up this week on Reality TV Rehap-Ups with Amy and Haley. I will be a guest on their show. That should be coming out this upcoming Wednesday. And we're going to be talking about Bachelor Ben and all of the crazy ladies he's dealing with on his season. Taryn, I imagine you're a huge fan of The Bachelor.
Yeah, totally a huge, huge fan.
All right,
I'm a huge fan of the Bachelor recappers.
Okay, all right. So there we go. It's saving some face there. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. For Taryn Armstrong, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag bitter in the face. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out. Reality TV.